ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరుత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. నష్టు ప్రాయషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం సెకండ్ క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 10 టెక్స్ట్ 27. దిస్ చాప్టర్ ఇస్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ యాజ్ భాగవతం ఇస్ ద ఆన్సర్ టు ఆల్ క్వశ్చన్స్. ఉత్సిశ్రిక్షోర్ ధాతు మలం నిరభిద్యత వై గూదం తతః పాయు తతో మిత్ర ఉత్సర్గ ఉభయాశ్రయ. ఉత్సిశ్రిక్షోర్ ధాతు మలం నిరభిద్యత వైగుదం తతో పాయుస్తతో మిత్ర ఉత్సర్గో ఉభయాశ్రయ. ఉత్సిశ్రిక్షోర్ ధాతు మలం నిరభిద్యత వైగుదం తతో పాయుస్తతో మిత్ర ఉత్సర్గ ఉభయాశ్రయ.
ఉత్సర్గ ఉభయాశ్రయ.
Utsishiksho, desiring to evacuate. Dhatu malam, refuse of eatables. Nirabhiddata, became open. Vai, certainly. Gudam, the evacuating hall. Tataha, thereafter. Payu, the evacuating sense organ. Tataha, thereafter,
Mitra,
the controlling demigod,
Utsargaha,
the substance evacuated,
Ubhaya,
both,
Ashrayaha,
shelter. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, when he desired to evacuate the refuse of eatables, the evacuating hole, the anus, and the sensory organ thereof developed along with the controlling deity Mitra. The sensory organ and the evacuating substance are both under the shelter of the controlling deity. Please repeat after me. Thereafter, when he desired to evacuate the refuse of eatables,
the
evacuating hole,
anus,
and the sensory organ thereof developed along with the controlling deity
Mitra.
The sensory organ
and the evacuating substance
are both under the shelter of the controlling deity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Even in the matter of evacuating stool, the refuse is controlled. So how can the living entity claim to be independent? Very short purport, but very powerful. So, utsishrikshar dhatu malam niravidyata vaigunam tato payus tato mitra utsarga ubhayashraya. Thereafter, when he desired to evacuate the refuse of eatables, the evacuating hole, anus, and the sensory organ thereof developed along with the controlling deity Mitra. The sensory organ and the evacuating substance are both under the shelter of the controlling deity. So who is this controlling deity?
Mitra.
Of who controls the refuse of our eatables. We eat, and after eating some substance of the foodstuff is accepted by the body, and the rest of it is rejected out of the body. And for that there is thank you. So finally it worked. The so even this aspect, eating and rejecting the waste product, the rejection of the waste product is also controlled by an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a demigod called Mitra. So in this way, in this chapter, we are seeing at this part of this chapter that how different parts of our body functioning, different specific functions, is a result of the Lord's desire. Which aspect of the Lord is we are talking about here? We are talking about the Vishnu aspect. The Vishnu lies down in the causal ocean, and as a result of his breathing, different universes, not only different universes, innumerable universes are created. Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean and he is breathing. He is breathing not only through his mouth and nostrils, but he is also breathing through his every single pore of his body. We also do that. Although the basic function of breathing is done through the nose and mouth sometimes. But we also breathe through our body. Every pore of our body is breathing. And now as Mahavishnu is breathing in causal ocean, if you breathe underwater, what will happen? You can't breathe. You can only exhale. You can't inhale underwater. You can only... But the fish can. The fishes can breathe underwater. How do they breathe underwater? Who knows? The fishes? How? Through the gills. In their ears. There are gills, and through the gills what they are doing? They are just taking the oxygen. There is some oxygen in the water, and the fishes are, they breathe by taking the oxygen through their gills. Whereas we breathe through our lungs. So we don't have that ability to extract oxygen from water. There is very little water, very little oxygen in the water. The fishes can. And then they breathe out also. Sometimes we see the fish opens the mouth and bloop. A bubble just comes out. But we, if we lie in the, if we go underwater and if we breathe, what will happen? Did you see many bubbles come out? The air creates the bubble inside the water. Now, Mahavishnu is also breathing, and as a result of his breathing, innumerable bubbles are created. And each single bubble is an universe. Some are small universe, and some are big universes. The universe we are living in is the smallest. Maybe through the pore of Mahavishnu's body, from his hair holes, just some oxygen came out, or some bubble came out, and the result is this universe. Why it is the smallest? Because the size of the universe is determined by the heads of Brahma of that universe. Every universe has a Brahma. He is the first. Every universe has a Brahma, the first created being. In every universe, from the Garbhodakshay Vishnu's navel, the lotus comes out and Brahma is situated. Now the smallest Brahma is with four heads. That's the smallest Brahma. But there are Brahmas with thousands of heads, millions of heads. So that is the size of the universe. So in this way we can see how inconceivable Krishna's creation is. And this aspect of Krishna, Mahavishnu, is only an expansion of his expansions of his expansions. Jashyaika nishyashita kala mathava lamba Jivanti Loma Bilaja Jagadanda Natha Vishnur Mahanja Iha Kala Vishesha Govindam Adipurusham Tamahang Vajami. Now Brahma Samhita actually gives such a clear understanding. So Vishnur Mahan, Mahavishnu, is being described here. Jashyaika nishyashita kala mathava lamba jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha. As a result of his one breath, jashya eka nishyashita. Nishyash means breath. Kalam, the duration of that time, athava lamba. Taking shelter of that span of time. Jivanti loma bilaja. Loma bilaja, loma means hair of the body. And from the hair of the body, from the hair of his body, from that, from the hair of his body, the universes are created. And the Jagadandanatha, the universal Natha, the Lord of that, the master of that universe, is Lord Brahma, and that is the duration of his life. Brahma's duration of life is one breath of Mahavishnu. And what is Brahma's duration of life according to our calculation? 1,000 Chaturyuga is one day of Brahma. Chaturyuga? Chaturyuga means a combination of four yugas: Satyayuga, Tretayuga, Dwaparayuga and Kaliyuga. What is the length of that? What is the duration of that? 4.32 million years. And 4.32 million years is just the day of Brahma. And according to that calculation, there is Brahma's week, Brahma's months, Brahma's years. Can you imagine what will be the length of Brahma's year? Inconceivable. And then, according to that calculation, Brahma lives for 100 years. But what is that? Although from our perspective it's such a long period of time, but from Mahavishnu's perspective, just one breath. Jashaika nishyashita kala mathavalam. And who is this Mahavishnu? Mahavishnu is Kala Vishesha. His expansions. Kala Vishesha. Amsa means direct expansion and Kala means expansions of expansions. So that is Govinda, Krishna. Krishna's expansions. We can see Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. Then Balaram expands into Chaturbuha of Dwarka. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then there is expansion as Narayan. And then from the Narayan expands Mahavishnu. So that is how inconceivable Krishna's potency is. And then Krishna creates this universe and he arranges the living entities to come to the universe, and then according to Krishna's plan, a body, a Virat Purusha, the body of the Virat Purusha is manifested. That form is material form. But according to different material activity that develops as the desire of the Lord, he plans, he just thinks, and the result is there. So this personality, the universal form of the Lord, is the cause of the happenings of this material nature. As a result of him, different demigods are manifested. These demigods are different parts of his body, and they control different aspects of the body. So Prabhupada is pointing out here in this particular verse, what is the description? How, as a result of the need to evacuate after eating, different arrangements are made. The body, the waste product of the body must go out, and as a result of that, some outlets were generated. And those outlets are being controlled by different demigods. And the waste product of the body and the evacuating holes of the body are controlled by Mitra. And so Prabhupada is saying, we can't even pass through ourselves. we don't have the power to control our evacuating system. So where's the question of becoming independent? Living entities are not independent. We are not independent. Living entities are constantly, always being controlled by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The basic concept is prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. In the material nature, prakrite kriyamanani, everything is happening gunai karmani sarvashah, due to the arrangements of gunas and karma. And then these gunas are being controlled by different demigods. Some are controlling through the mode of goodness. It's something like a puppeteer making the puppets dance. We are also product of that. We are product of that. Like, we are just being controlled. We are being controlled by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's very interesting, actually. We long time ago we were doing some scientific studies on that. Those days I was involved with the BI in the early 80s, 81, 82. And one devotee in the BI who was my, we were together, we were traveling. And he was a PhD in neurophysiology. And he came up with some very wonderful findings, actually. How many of you are interested to know the scientific explanation? Okay. So he actually, his finding was, as I remember, I may not be very clear about that, but still I'll try to explain, that in the cortex of the brain, you know, brain, and what is the cortex of the brain? The outer covering of the brain, there is one region called the homunculus. This homunculus actually depicts the whole body. This part of the brain depicts the whole body. Like the homunculus doesn't look like the shape of the body, but there are different regions of the homunculus that actually controls different parts of the body. Like when we are thinking that we are lifting the head, we're lifting the hand, but it is actually the homunculus, a part of the homunculus that is being stimulated and causing the hand, causing us to lift the hand. So, the modern science can go up to that much. They can see that whatever is happening to different parts of the body is happening in different region of the homunculus. Homunculus are the region of hands, region of legs, region of stomach, region of head, and so forth. So this is what the modern science has understand. Now the question is, what is causing the stimulation to the homunculus? That they can't find out. That they do not know. But what is our answer to that? Let us hear what the doctor has to say, Ganga Narayan. What is our answer to that?
By the different demigods, the completely different.
No, the karmic reaction. Karma is actually causing the stimulation. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. So it is the karma that is actually causing the stimulation. So whatever is happening to the body is ultimately a gross reaction. The subtle reaction is taking place in the brain center. So it is not that the demigods are lifting our hands and feet like that, like a puppeteer. The puppeteer, what does a puppeteer has? Puppeteer has the different parts of the puppet tied up with a string. And the puppeteers move the strings, and as a result of that, and the puppets dance. Now the demigods are not directly like, our hands and feet are not tied up in that way. But what they are doing it in a subtle way, through the subtle body. So the gross body is a result of the subtle body. And where is the seat of the subtle body? The seat of the subtle body is the brain center. The head is the seat of the subtle body. The seat of the soul is the heart, and the seat of the subtle body, consisting of mind, intelligence and false ego, is the brain. And it is through that subtle body, which is, or apparently we can say, through our brains, we are being controlled. So as long as we are depending upon our subtle body, controlled by the brain, we are controlled under the material nature. But when you surrender to Krishna, then what happens? Then the brain is dandavat. Brain is given down. Brain is surrendered. Head is surrendered. It's the heart. And Krishna works from that region. So we are not independent under any circumstances. When you don't surrender to Krishna, we are controlled by the demigods. But when you surrender to Krishna, then the demigods resign. They say, the boss has taken over. So now, this person is beyond our jurisdiction. Our boss will take care of him. And Krishna takes care of a devotee. You surrender unto Krishna, Krishna will take care of you. And Krishna takes care in the most wonderful way. Krishna arranges, Krishna makes all the arrangements in the most wonderful way. So who is controlling that? Surrender. By switching off your mobile phone. All the mobile phones should be switched off. Otherwise you will be penalized. I didn't penalize you because I can see that you came for the first time in the class. So this is how wonderfully we are being controlled. And the most important thing is to understand that we are not the controller, we are not independent, we are controlled. We are controlled. And if we do that, then we automatically develop the propensity or the tendency or the desire to surrender. And then when we are surrendered, then we are not responsible for the happenings of our life. We have surrendered to Him. So you take care, Krishna. And it's a wonderful realization. It's a wonderful surrendering, submitting ourselves to a wonderful arrangement. Krishna, you take care. Won't it be wonderful to let somebody else to take care of us? Especially when you become completely frustrated, when we try to control and we can't control, then what happens? We wish that somebody was there who could actually take care. And that somebody is there. Krishna is there to take care. Krishna, you please take care. And that's why devotees are so peaceful. Devotees may not be always very peaceful, especially when you get into my wrong side. You'll see some fireworks. But the thing is that individually, how do I feel? Yes, I do get angry, I do get upset. But then after that, you know, well, Krishna, please take care. And also initially, I mean, basically we know that whatever we are doing it for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are doing it for Krishna. We are not responsible. We are working for the boss. Whatever we are doing is not our independent desire. It is that independent is whatever independence is there is simply to serve Krishna. Krishna, I want to serve you. I want to serve you. That's about all we want. And the feeling is that even if I deviate, I surrender unto you. So it's your responsibility to bring me back to the track. Even if I deviate, because I am not the controller myself. That's why I surrendered unto you. So I am surrendered to you and you control me. In this respect, a very nice example is given in Christianity actually. In Christianity, a living entity is considered to be a lamb. And Jesus is the shepherd. Shepherd is the one who takes care of the sheep. Now, if one sheep goes away from the out of the group, then what does the shepherd do? With a stick, he just pushes and brings him back to the track. So that is the that is what the Supreme Personality of Godhead does to the surrendered souls. If we remain surrendered to Him, even if we deviate, He'll bring us back. Provided we remain under His control. But if we are defiant, we think, oh, who is Krishna? Why should I surrender unto Him? Let me go. Then it's bad luck. But if we remain surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna will bring us back. Krishna will take care of us. That is why it is at the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter, second canto, this is becoming clear to us. It's made clear to us that we are being controlled. We are not independent. Under all circumstances, we are controlled. So if we are controlled, then let me surrender. If I am not the controller, even of myself, then why should I try to control? Let me just surrender. And when we surrender, then the result is so wonderful. Krishna has given us the confidence. Krishna has given us the assurance. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo. I will take care of you. Don't worry. You surrender unto me, I will take care of you. And Krishna never lies. When Krishna gives some assurance, Krishna fulfills that promise. So in this way, Krishna is making such a... Krishna has made actually such a wonderful arrangement for us. And no matter whatever happens to us, we should remain surrendered to Krishna. Sometimes nice things will happen, sometimes not so nice things will happen. But in either situation, we should remain submissive to Krishna. It is not that only when the nice things happen, I will remain submissive to Krishna. And when not so nice things happen to me, I will say, Krishna, forget it. I don't want to surrender unto you. I surrendered, and why these bad things started to happen? Sometimes I hear people complain. Oh, I surrendered to Krishna, now see what happened. My family got finished. But at the same time, so this is a neophyte understanding, a neophyte attitude. Now, why did it happen to me? I became a devotee. So why did it happen to me? We have to understand that in the material nature, you know, not always nice things will happen to us. Therefore, the devotee's understanding is that whenever nice things happen to me, it's Krishna's mercy. When not so nice things happen to me, that's my karma. That is how devotees always remain in a very, very safe situation. But on the other hand, if we think that when the nice things happen to me, it's my karma, and when bad things happen to me, then it is Krishna, then we'll miss out a wonderful opportunity. All the good things that happen, we should recognize that it's Krishna's divine arrangement, and we should remain thankful to Krishna. And when some bad things happen, after all, we have accumulated so many karmas. And if some reaction comes up in certain way, why should we worry about it? Let's take it that it's my bad karma. It should have been worse, much worse. But because I have taken shelter of Krishna, it has been nullified in a small little way, with a small little reaction. I got a little cut in my hand, but I'm thinking, oh, why my hand got cut? I'm a devotee. Why my hand got cut? But if we think that actually my karmic reaction was meant to chop off my whole hand, according to the karmic reaction, my whole hand should have been chopped off. But that whole karma got nullified by a little cut in the hand. So this is how a devotee sees, looks at everything. And is it an imaginary thing? No, it's real. And eventually what will happen? Is our body be saved? No, it's our soul that will be saved by Krishna. What's the point in just worrying so much about the body or the mind? Gross body or subtle body. Our main business is with our soul. So sometimes people say that, my relative died. Or sometimes even they say that the devotee had such an unfortunate situation. Because he's a devotee, why it happened to him? We have to understand that what we are seeing is what happened to the body. We are not able to see what's happening to the soul. Krishna will take care of the soul, not the body. Just like when you go to a doctor, does the doctor take care of her shirt? Taking care of the shirt is the business of the washerman, dhobi, right? Don't go to a doctor and say, can you please take care of my shirt? Sometimes doctor, in order to treat us, he may even tear our shirt. And should you cry, oh, why are you tearing our shirt off? I came to you to save me. So why are you doing this to me? Now, is the doctor meant to take care of our shirt or dress? No. The doctor is supposed to take care of this body. And in order to save the body, the doctor may even cut the shirt and throw it away. So similarly, the one who takes care of the soul, we should not make a mistake thinking that he should take care of our body. Krishna is meant to take care. Krishna is there to take care of our soul. When you surrender to Krishna, He'll take care of our soul, not the body. So if something happens to the body, we shouldn't worry. Krishna knows what to do with us. Sometimes the body will have some facilities, sometimes the body may not have some facilities. Doesn't matter. But the soul will be salvaged, soul will be saved, soul will be delivered if we remain surrendered to Krishna. And in the material nature, sometimes good things will happen, sometimes bad things will happen. So why should you worry about that? That's happening in the platform of the shirt, platform of the dress. So we should be concerned about the real self. Sometimes a devotee may be apparently very sick, but internally he is so blissful. His sickness of the body is not affecting his soul. Spiritually he is very, very enlivened. And that is the sign of spiritual advancement. We are not affected by the condition of the body. We are not affected by the condition of our mind or intelligence. We are simply affected by our spiritual condition. And that is the meaning of being surrendered to Krishna. And that is the reward we will receive when we surrender unto Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Krishna Chan.
Surrender being an ongoing process, we hear that it's not a one-time thing but it is continuous. What the statement that you have made in your class that once I have surrendered, even if I deviate, it is your responsibility to bring me back. But at that time we choose, using our free will, I mean at this present moment I might have surrendered, but at a later stage if I choose not to surrender, so will still the Lord be responsible because I still have the
faith? Yes. It's up to Him. And first thing is that the Lord acts in the material platform through His agents. He doesn't directly act. Unless, of course, we are completely surrendered unto Him. Now, that agent of the Lord is the spiritual master. So when you surrender unto the spiritual master, you have to remain surrendered. If you deviate, then the spiritual master may save you or may not save you. It's up to him. In this respect, Prabhupada is giving the example that when you get into a boat, it is the responsibility of the boatman to take you across the river. But halfway, if you jump out of the boat, right? And if you don't know how to swim, then the boatman may save you, may not save you. Right? Generally the boatman will, being compassionate individual, he'll try to save you. But before you jump overboard, be aware of this point, that it is not the boatman's responsibility to jump into the river and save you. It is your decision that you jumped overboard. He may or he may not. If he doesn't, don't blame him. Okay? Take the blame on yourself. So the thing is, and the other consideration is that if we remain on the path, then it will be an ongoing thing. If we remain on the path, then we will keep making advancement. For example, if you get admitted to any university, then what happens? You're a fresher when you came into the university. But then with the passing of time, with every semester, you're making advancement. Right? You keep on advancing. So if you remain on this university of Krishna consciousness, ISKCON, then you'll make spiritual advancement. And then eventually from a student one day you'll become a teacher.
in the same university. So there is no question of leaving the university. You are a student, you take admission as a student, then you make advancement, and then when you graduate, then you become a teacher in the university. Yes.
You mentioned when you asked Ramanayan Prabhu, what is it that controls our body? You said it's karma that controls our body. But like it's us who...
It's not the karma that controls the body, it's the homunculus is stimulated by karma, that's what I said.
So stimulated by karma. So if the homunculus is this like guiding me to raise my hand to ask a question, then is it the karma is like a... fast type reaction. It's like choosing to, wanting to raise a hand, and that's why the karma is stimulating. So, is it like that?
Yeah, the thing is that one may say that it's the desire that is making it, but again, the desires are also being controlled. You see, what is happening here is the desire.
So, the independence of the living entity is so magnificent that even what his desires are actually like results of past deeds.
So there is a saying that after seven chapters of Ramayana, the question is, whose father is Sita? So all along what we are actually discussing is that we don't have independence. We don't have independence. To think that we have independence is illusory. So that's the point. We don't have independence. Even our desires are being controlled. But the thing is that we have the desire, the only independence we have is to decide Krishna or Maya. That's the only independence we have. And when you decide for Krishna, then yes, that's the right application of the independence. Then what will happen? Still then we don't have our independence, but we have the desire. I want to serve. But that also will be controlled by Krishna. Krishna will make all kinds of arrangements. You had a question?
How should I know that I'm jumping from the womb?
How should you?
How should I know that I'm jumping from the womb?
When you bloop. You know the expression bloop? Bloop means go away from Krishna consciousness. Give up the shelter of the movement, shelter of the institution, give up the shelter of the devotees, and you just go away. So that is the time you are actually, that is the synonymous to jumping out of the boat. The boat is there, the boat is ISKCON. The shelter is, it's wonderfully sheltered by the wonderful arrangement that Prabhupada made. But if I give up that shelter of ISKCON, then we are actually jumping overboard.
The universal form desired to feel the sensations, and that's how we got these sensations, all these that is described. So
the origin of the all the sensations are there, and we are actually reflecting those sensations. Yeah.
So, Srila Prabhupada says in a few places that the universal form is actually imaginary. It's not actually that the Lord is, it's a person as such, but it is imagined. So if that is the case, then how is it that the universal form desired to develop these?
Prabhupada didn't exactly say imaginary. Prabhupada gave the thing like temporary. It is there, like, but because it is material, it is not permanent and it's not real in that sense. Like our forms, are they real? From one perspective it's real, from another perspective it's not real. Similarly, the universal form, after all, Arjuna saw that. If it was just imaginary, then how could Arjuna see that? And he, you know, another thing is that, you know, since it is the form of the Lord, how can it not be how can it not be real? Anything pertaining to the Lord, Ritayarthaṁ yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chātmani. Anything that is related to the Lord is real. But if it's not related to the Lord, then it's unreal, although it may appear to be real. His desires are manifesting. His whole creation is originally stemming from that form. And everything is a part of that form. Different demigods are the part of that form. Every aspect of this creation is a part of that form. But you know, with our limited intelligence, we won't be able to understand that. That's why the point is, don't worry about that form. How the mountains are his bones and how the rivers are his veins, we'll never be able to understand. But that's how we have to see it. We have to understand that. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Śrīla Prabhupāda, Gaura Prema Nandi.